Now, the rest of the story. The old general was doing pretty well until Christmas Eve that year. And that's when he slipped on an icy sidewalk and tore up some ligaments, bedridden for weeks thereafter. His suffering was eventually compounded by a severe case of pleurisy. And that's when the old man's troubles really began. For the general and his family had unwittingly been taken in by a business partner who turned out to be a con artist. The young fellow named Ferdinand Ward had accepted supposed investment capital from the general, and then Ward would return part of the investment, calling it profits, which encouraged the general to invest more. By the time Ferdinand Ward vanished in the night, the general was not only flat broke, but $150,000 in debt. And perhaps worst of all, the general's creditors accused him of being in cahoots with Ward, and thus was the old man's good reputation obliterated along with his life savings. Predictably, the general's health began to fail. Now suddenly, this heretofore likable, honorable gentleman was destitute, disgraced, and dying. Old associates deserted him in droves. If ever he needed a friend, he needed one now. And one did turn up. Just one, a publisher. Now it's 5 years later, and that publisher was reading in the newspapers what a terrible man the old general had turned out to be. Well, he didn't believe it for a minute. He promptly went to the old gentleman and he said, "I wish I could make you well again. I can't do that. But I can solve your other problems if you'll let me try." And what the publisher proposed was two volumes of memoirs. He knew they would sell well. He would see to it. The royalties would pay off anxious creditors and provide an income for the general's family and more. When people read the wonderful true tales that combined to comprise the general's life, the stain of his suspicious bankruptcy would be removed, and he would be a hero again. With much gratitude, the general agreed and proceeded to write, and he worked relentlessly, furiously, despite increasing exhaustion and pain. Even through the barely penetrable fog of ever higher doses of morphine, he continued to labor on his memoirs. In the race to complete them, the cancer won, and yet his publisher friend took the words the general had left behind and transformed them into redemption. He personally delivered to the old man's widow the first royalty check, $200,000, followed by another $150,000, 70% of the profits from the posthumous memoirs. The general's debts were paid off, his family's future was secure, because once upon a fall from grace, an old soldier was losing the war that mattered most, until reinforcements arrived, and so the history books remember with reverence the life and times of General and President Ulysses S. Grant. For the publisher who restored Grant's fortunes, both financial and personal, when an ungrateful nation had turned its back, was also the immortal American author of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Mark Twain? Mark Twain. And now you know the rest of the story.